blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 80 in the first four stanzas. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. I call upon thy name. O save me in thy righteousness, nor let me suffer shame. 1-4 of Psalter number 80. Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 14 through verse 32. Luke 4, verses 14 through 32. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach in the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And He said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto Me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.'" And He said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, rose up and thrust Him out of the city, and led Him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read it out of thy holy word, that thy word was with power. And Lord, thou art the same today, though thou art not here with thy human nature in this world, yet thou dost reign and thou dost send forth thy servants to preach thy word in thy place, in thy stead. And thou didst say, I have put my words in thy mouth. And Lord, then may it be also that that power may be experienced in our midst. Oh, that is not our work, that is not our ability, but it is the ability of thee who art the Son of God, thou who art God himself, thou who art divine, thou in whom is all the might and all the dominion. O Lord, we ask of thee, so undeservedly from our side, if we may experience some of that power, oh, then it shall be also to our astonishment in this afternoon, when we shall feel that power, when it will be known within our own heart, power to bring forth life from the dead. Power to take away all the riddles and all the perplexities of thy people, to answer their questions and to engraft them in unto that living vine. Oh, power to put away the wiles of the prince of darkness that to come against thy people. Power to save those that are needy, those that are poor. A power to bring forth glory and honor unto thy own holy and worthy name. Lord, there is no power from our side. Oh, we are so weak in our deep fall. We have lost all our ability, and we are so helpless in ourselves. We have no power even to will that which is good in thy holy sight. We cannot even desire, O Lord, our own salvation, being dead in trespasses and in sins by nature. And then even the power that is given by beginnings in the life of thy church, by a true and saving faith, wherein thou dost say, if thou had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall obey thee. And yet they must experience their weakness also in that exercise of that gift that thou hast given unto them. Oh, then they must experience that the power that is and that remains from thy side. And unless thou wilt be pleased to come over for them, then all is darkness and all is riddles and all is confusion. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may come unto thy own people in this afternoon hour, that thou may lead them a little further, and that thou may instruct them more in that knowledge of self, that thou in thy dear Son may become a more and more necessary, precious, and suitable unto thy dear people, that they may be led further in the steps of grace, that they may be given that assurance of faith that is alone to their comfort
and which would be so to thy honor and to thy glory. Oh, that they may be given to speak once, Lord, in the midst of their own families, and to say, come and hear what the Lord has done unto my soul. Oh, Lord, how long has it been as since thy children could open their mouth? Oh, may thou remember them in this day, and may thou give them a little instruction in those offices of thy dear Son that we are called to consider in this afternoon hour, the prophetical, the priestly, and the kingly office of which that they know so little. Lord, may thou be in our midst to instruct us all together, that we may experience something of the need of those offices, that we may experience something of their reality as they are fulfilled in thy dear Son, in that work which thou hast sent him to do. Lord, to whom else can we go but unto thee? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and of ourselves we can only spoil everything as we speak and as we listen. Oh, that thou may then take away all that is of man and all that is of the flesh. Oh, strip us of our false foundations. Lead us into thy truth. Oh, become thou a refuge for those that are oppressed. And may thou become the wisdom of those who are ignorant in themselves. Oh, may thou become the physician of the sick. May thou become the salvation of the lost ones. Oh, Lord, instruct then. Oh, instruct also in the beginning of that new life. Oh, lead, Lord, as some in our midst may be in this very day, in thy own day, lead into that first love. Oh, we have a love for the world, and we have a love for the time. We do not want to let go of all that we love. But when thou wilt give thy love within our heart, oh, then our heart shall burn within us. Oh, then we shall desire thee with all our might and with all our strength. Oh, Lord, glorify thyself in this way, in the midst of us. Remember parents. Oh, instruct us, Lord, that we may be true examples to our dear children, that we may know how to instruct them, that our responsibility may be laid with weight upon our soul, that we have to give an account for what we do with our children, but also for all that we leave undone day by day. Oh, then show to us our great guilt, and wilt thou give to us a pleading in our own inner chamber, that we may be given that knowledge ourselves, and that we may know how to teach them. May thou look on them despite us. Oh, that thou would take them for thy own account. Show them the preciousness of thy service. Oh, instruct them in the vanity of the world, in the evil of their own heart. And give them in the days of their youth to cry out already, because of their own wretchedness and sinfulness, and give them the desire to serve the true and the living God. Remember the school principals, teachers, and all that labor therein. Wilt thou instruct those that must instruct, and be with the children, give them also instruction in that place for this time, and for that never-ending eternity. And those that are unable be taught in that place, that are taught in their own homes or maybe in other schools, Lord, may thou be also with each one of them. And wilt thou instruct us all together as we are traveling to that great eternity. Be with young people as they go to universities and colleges in this world, or that are in the workforce, And when many temptations do come against them, Lord, oh, keep them. Give that the foundation upon which they have been taught in their youth may be a foundation upon which thou dost ground them in truth in their hearts, that they may be able to stand in the day of evil, and that they may be given an uprightness, a boldness to speak out thy truth in the midst of all the forces of evil that are in this world. Remember our government and all those that reign over us and the judges of our land. Wilt thou strengthen them to do that which is right in thy holy sight, and keep from all evil and from leading our nation in the ways of iniquity and toward our own destruction. Remember missionaries, oh, that go over the length and the breadth of the world, also our own mission field. And may thou strengthen all those that labor therein, and wilt thou give thy blessing upon those labors. Be with all afflicted and sick ones, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the handicapped ones in this world, and those that are not able to gather with us due to sickness or whatever it may be, and those that mourn the losses of loved ones, widows, widowers, and orphans. Remember all that listen by church telephone that may not be in our midst. May thou give a blessing also in their places. Lord, wilt thou be with all that are persecuted for thy name's sake? Give us an impression of thy blessings in the land in which we live, the freedom that which we may have, and that so soon, so quickly could be taken away from us. Oh, that we may use it as that which is not to remain, and that we may seek to hasten for the sake of our life. Strengthen those that are persecuted. Give them courage in this day and in all days, and wilt thou protect them from all that is evil. Go thou before us then also in this afternoon hour, Lord, once again to bring the instruction thou hast given with such light to our forefathers. But oh, that we need light too. Oh, we need light for the explanation. And we need light to bring it forth, O Lord, in the midst of this, our congregation. And we need light to be able to give the proper application. Oh, may thou give the true application. And may thou bring it in the heart of each and every one. And leave us not to ourselves to leave this place as hard, as cold, and as dead perhaps as we have come in. But may it be effectual, thy word effectual to the bringing forth of the glory of thy own name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 188, stanzas 1 through 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. We announced that the extra collection at the last song today is for the Banner of Truth and Insight into Publications, and also that the following young people hope to make public profession of faith on Sunday, January 21st in the afternoon service. Marie Arnold Dusen, Leonard Brunn, Beverly Den Hollander, Arjan Janssen. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before January 17th. Psalter 188, stanzas 1 through 4.
Thank you.
Congregation, we read in the Word of God what the Lord has spoken through the mouth of His servant Ezekiel concerning the false prophets of Israel. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God," when the Lord hath not spoken. They were men who did usurp that prophetical office unto themselves. They were men who were never sent by the Lord. And they were men who could therefore be never a blessing unto the children of Israel. And why not? Because they did not have a message from the Lord. No, they had a message out of their own heart. They had a message that was brought forth out of their own mind. And then what is the desire of man? That is to be at peace with the people. And that is impossible. And so we read of that message when they are crying, "Peace, peace," when really there was no peace. And that was not only the prophetical office, but we can read that also of the other offices that the Lord has instituted within His church. Because we read it also of the priestly office of the Lord. How that a Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they have come with a desire themselves to be placed in that office. And that say to Aaron that he is taking too much upon you, that the Lord has not only spoken to you, but the Lord has also spoken unto us. And so they had a desire to usurp an office. Moses says, that does not belong unto you. How often do we read this also of the kingly office? Because so often in the Old Testament, then we read of those who did slay the kings, that they themselves might reign in their stead. One after the other, especially when we come to the end of the kingdoms of Israel, of Judah, and then we see the degradation of that kingdom, how different that was. Then when the beginning of that kingdom had been there, because the Lord's blessing could never rest upon man placing himself in an office that was instituted by the Lord. But how different when we see the Lord coming to anoint His own king over the children of Israel. And so that is also in our days with the offices within the church of God. Then the office of the ministry, that is really the office of a prophet, that is a teaching office, and the office of the deaconship, that is actually the priestly office, and the office of the elder is the ruling or the kingly office. And when we would place ourselves in such an office that is not in a lawful way, then the blessing of the Lord can never rest upon it. And now if that is so, with the offices within the church of God, how much more so when we are speaking about the great office bearer, and that is the subject of our instructors for this afternoon, Lord's Day 12, question 31. Lord's Day 12, question 31. Why is He called Christ, that is, anointed? Answer, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. So far, our Lord's Day question 31. Christ the Anointed One, first to his prophetical office, second to his priestly office, and third to his kingly office. Christ the Anointed One, that is, to his offices of prophet, priest, and king. Christ is the second name now that our instructors are setting before us, because we have heard last time the name of Jesus set before us. Do you remember, boys and girls, the meaning of that name? Jesus, that is Savior. And we said that that was the personal name of the Son of God. That was his whole character. That is his whole being. That is his whole purpose. Jesus, that is Savior. And our congregation, do we need a Savior? What is now the profit when we have heard that his name is Jesus? Is there any need that we also may be saved from our sin as we have tried to bring in your midst? But now what an awful thing when there would be those who truly are given to feel something of a need for a Savior, when there would be but Saviors which had sent themselves, when there would be but Saviors which had run of their own accord. And the Bible says that also in the last time there will be such, because we read there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Thus we hear the word Christ, and that name of Christ that is not then the personal name of the Son of God, but it speaks about his official name. Thus it has to do with every one of the offices of the Lord Jesus as he was sent into the world for the salvation of his people. But now we have read actually that he speaks about false Christs. And actually, when we consider those two words, false Christ, that is really a contradiction in terms. And so the devil, he will try to turn everything upside down. And why is this actually a contradiction in terms? False Christ. Well, what is a false prophet? What is a false priest, a false king, that is one who has sent himself, that is one who has run of his own accord. But now we speak about Christ and what is the name, what is the meaning of that name? Well, the very meaning of that name, Christ, that is anointed. Thus, Christ did not anoint himself, but Christ was anointed. He was anointed of his Father. He did not send himself. He did not run of himself. But he had a sender. Thus, the contradiction in terms, false, one who has sent himself, Christ, one who has a sender. He has a sender. Who is that sender? That is God the Father. That is the first person of that Holy Trinity. Do you know who has sent him? The one who is offended with you and with me. That is our Maker. That is our Creator. Against whom we have sinned in paradise, and against whom we continue to sin every day again. He has sent him. He has anointed him for the salvation of his church. Now there are two things in that anointing of the Lord Jesus. What are they? That is, in the first place, the appointment of the Son of God. And that is, in the second place, the qualification of the Son of God. So he is anointed, that is, he is appointed, and he is qualified by his Father. Thus, in the first place, he is appointed of the Father to be the mediator between himself and his elect. What do we read of him? That he is chosen of the Father. What does Isaiah say? Behold, mine elect, whom I uphold. Thus, elected of his own Father to do the work that his Father desired him to do. Then he hasn't chosen any, but his only begotten Son. And therefore, Paul says, neither is there any other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved but that name of the Lord Jesus. The Father, having sent his Son, having chosen his own Son for the work of this mediation, that means that when we have no need and when we have no desire and when we have no love for this mediator, that we reject not only the Son of God, but that we also reject the Father, because he has appointed his Son. And congregation, that is multiplying the wrath of God upon us and upon our children. Because the Father is already angry at you and at me because of our sin against Him, because we have rebelled against Him in paradise, and we have by nature no desire to return unto Him. Oh, is there people that feel something of this? Our back is turned unto the true and to the living God. Our back is turned unto Him who has made us for the purpose of His glory. And then He has chosen one to send forth. He has appointed Him Himself to send Him forth into this world. And we, in rejecting that Son of God, do multiply our guilt, do multiply our transgression, when every day we go over this world, and that we say we have no need for that Son, for that Mediator, that Thou hast sent into this world for the salvation of sinners. Oh, then the anointing. The Lord Jesus Himself says, we read it together, that He said, this day is this fulfilled in your ears, that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed Him. Thus, in the first place, appointed, but in the second place, that Spirit of the Lord, by the appointment of God the Father, is also qualifying that Son of God for this particular office, that is the mediatorship between God and His children. O congregation, who alone knows what is necessary for us to be reconciled unto God? Who alone knows what is necessary for the wrath of God to be pacified on our account? Who alone knows what will be suitable to Him, that we again may be brought into the favor of God? Who alone knows but God the Father? Who alone knows but He whom we have sinned against? And it is He. It is He who has not only appointed this Son of God, but it is He who has also qualified Him. Thus it is He who has given Him everything that was necessary, and that He may restore again into the communion with Himself those who have turned their back unto Him. Then who alone is better and can better qualify a mediator than God the Father? Congregation, are there those who feel something of that wretchedness because of the distance between God and your soul? Are there those that cannot sleep sometimes in the evening? Are there those that go over this world with a burden upon your soul? Are there those who miss God and who cannot come back unto that God anymore? Oh, the Lord God Himself, God the Father has anointed, God the Father has appointed, God the Father has qualified a mediator just for that purpose. Because it is His good pleasure to bring those rebellious, sinful people back again into His own communion. And He Himself has made a way in and through His only begotten Son. Oh, how is it then possible that God the Father, that He would turn His Son away? How is it possible that God the Father would not accept that sacrifice of His own Son, who He Himself has appointed, whom He Himself
has qualified to do this work.
And therefore, oh, when we only may be engrafted into that Son of God, oh, when we only may become one of the branches of that vine, when we only may become one of the one member of that body, oh, then how safe we are. Then we are brought so surely back into that blessed communion with our Maker whom we have left. Oh, what a peace, what a rest may then come in your soul. Oh, to be reconciled to our Maker, to our Creator once again, appointed, qualified for three offices that are necessary for the salvation of a rebellious, sinful person. Anointed, we read, to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. A prophet. What is the work of a prophet? Congregation, that is to instruct. That is to teach. And when we have our own wisdom, and when we think we know it, oh, then we don't need such a prophet. But now the first office which is experienced in the life of God's children, that is the prophetical office of that blessed mediator. And what is now one of the first needs that is coming in the life of a person in whom the Lord has planted His Spirit, oh, then one of the first needs is for instruction. Because when the Lord gives light, then that people see the darkness that they have come into. And when the Lord gives light, then they begin to understand how darkened has become their understanding. And then how necessary, think only of the disciples, how often they have gone to the Lord Jesus and they have asked Him for instruction. Oh, is that your life? That you must go upon your knees and to say, Lord, how ignorant that I am. Ignorant of myself, my state, my condition. Lord, show me who I am. Show me who Thou art. Oh, the Lord Jesus appointed, the Lord Jesus qualified to be the chief prophet, to be the chief teacher of His church. The Lord Jesus is Himself. The Lord Jesus is actually in Himself the revelation of the will of His Father. Thus, without speaking yet any words, just the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is already a teaching, that is already a preaching unto us. Why? Because it was not necessary that the Lord Jesus would become a man, except that He would come to save His church. What was the incarnation? The incarnation was nothing more than the qualification of the Son of God for the mediatorship. He could not save His church except He had come in the flesh, in the human nature of His own people. And therefore the Son of God, as He has come in His human nature into this world, is Himself already
a revelation of the will of his Father in the redemption of his people. That is already a message of that prophetical office. That is already a message to us that the Father does say unto us, you who have left me, you who have turned your back unto me, then you need a mediator. You need a savior for your soul. Thus, a message from the Father unto the fallen human race, just in the very being of that Son of God. But of course, the Lord Jesus, when he came in this world, then he was not silent. But the Lord Jesus also has spoken when he came in the world. Thus, as that chief prophet and as that chief teacher, the Lord has instructed the multitudes. And what was his instruction? Then he did not say, I come to save the whole world. No. But he said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. Thus he has given instruction as that chief prophet. I speak those things, he says, which I have heard of my Father. Thus it was the message of the will of his Father for the salvation of his church. And where, boys and girls, is the Lord Jesus now? You say the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven. That's right. And we read together that the Lord Jesus, he came up for to read in the synagogue congregation. Then we cannot imagine what that had been. To have been sitting there in Nazareth and to have the Lord Jesus himself come to give instruction. Then they wondered at the gracious words that the Lord Jesus had spoken. You say, well, then I would have been converted. But that's not what we read together. No, we read together that the people, they ended up because of his honesty, because that he pointed to the sin of that people. Then they ended up bringing him to the brow of a hill, and they are ready to cast him down headlong. No. Just because the Lord Jesus was there for 3 years, oh, that does not mean that we would have received the instruction of that great prophet. But the Lord Jesus has now instituted a ministry. The Lord Jesus has sent servants into this world and continues to send those servants that they may bring that same message, giving some evangelists and some prophets and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the work of the ministry. And then promising them what? Promising them gifts, promising them wisdom. That he says that all of the enemy, they will not be able to gainsay nor resist. And congregation, that is the wisdom that we need. And we have not that wisdom of ourselves, and we hope and we remind you once again. We beseech you to please go on your knees for us Sabbath after Sabbath day. That the Lord may give to us that wisdom, that we may be able to bring that message that is from him, that all our self, our evil self, may be kept out, and that the Lord may speak through us the instituted ministry, that you also may receive that reconciliation through that Son of God unto the Father. The Lord Jesus, he remains that great prophet, that great teacher. And the Lord Jesus had something that every one of us
as under shepherds do not have. Oh, when we could convince you, oh, when we could give it to you, but congregation, it is impossible. Not with, it is not, we read, by the persuasion of men, moral suasion, our fathers say. No, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord that men are born again. And that is what we need, Sabbath after Sabbath day in our midst, for the conversion of sinners not only, but for the instruction of God's true people. And now the Lord Jesus, as that chief prophet and teacher, then he has what we do not have, and that is the ability to bring it further than the ear, that ability to bring it even into your heart. What do we read about the Lord Jesus when he was on the earth? Then we read, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, that our cry may go out to the Lord. Lord, open my understanding, which is so darkened in and of itself, that I also may understand thy holy scriptures, that I may experience that scripture word within my own soul. What can he do? He can uncover our sin. He can say to us, just like he said to David, thou art the man, so that we come in the guilt. He can say to us, like he said to that woman of Samaria, the man you now have is not your husband, so that we come in the guilt and we say, here is now a man who told me all things that ever I did. That is his ability. That is what he was sent for. That is why he was appointed of his Father. That is what he was qualified to do. And he remains qualified to do this. No, there is no hope from our side. But there is so much hope from his side, because there is one whom the Father has qualified for that work. There is one that the Father himself has appointed to do that work. Congregation, do we need that instruction? Do we desire that instruction from the Lord? Our second thought, Christ is also anointed as the high priest of his church, to be our only high priest, who by one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us. Congregation, do you need a priest? Do you need a priest? There are priests in this world. We don't need those priests. They are self-appointed. They claim that they can forgive sins. And it is falsehood. But congregation, do we need a priest? Who needs a priest? What does a priest do? It is one thing to know Christ as a prophet, or shall I say, to need Christ as a prophet, to need his instruction, to desire his instruction. It is another thing to need him as a priest. And if we will need him as a priest, then we will need to know not only that our understanding is darkened, no, then we need to know that we are guilty. So that is something else. It is one thing to know we are ignorant. It is something else to feel our guilt. Do we need congregation a priest? Then it is one thing to know that we are guilty. And it is another thing to know and to experience that we cannot expiate our guilt. That is, that there is no other way except that we should be forgiven our guilt. Because in the beginning of that new life, then guilt is shown unto that true church. And yet they still do not feel their need for a priest. Why not? Because they do not see yet the extent of their guilt. They do not realize the extent of the corruption of their heart. They have not yet seen that it goes back to paradise. And thus they are still working. They are still laboring under that law. Have patience with me, O Lord, and I will pay thee all. Thus, then you can understand that the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as a priest, that is in the for the most part coming after the knowledge of the need for him as a prophet. Because first there is instruction and a knowledge of ignorance. But that knowledge must come further before that we understand the impossibility. And there is only one way when we see the children of Israel, when they were in that land of in the wilderness, and we see the tabernacle and the presence of the Father, the Holy of Holies, where none of the children of Israel can come in, lest they be destroyed. Then there was only one way to come to that Father, and that was through the priesthood. Thus it was necessary that there would be a sacrifice brought. It was necessary that there would be a priest in the temple, in the tabernacle, that he may officiate these labors, that he may slay that sacrifice and bring that blood as the high priest for the satisfaction of the Father into that Holy of Holies. One way. Thus the children of Israel taught that there was no other way that they could not take away their guilt through their own labors, through their own works, but that there was only one way that they may come unto the presence of that Father again, and that was through the sacrifice of that priesthood. The disciples did not understand it. They said many times, "Lord, instruct us." But they did not see the need for the Lord Jesus to die. Peter said, "Not so, this shall not be unto thee." Therefore, congregation, we ask you, has the Lord led to that point where we need not only the Lord Jesus as a prophet, but that we need the Lord Jesus Christ as our priest? And what else does a priest do? A priest intercedes. a priest prays. Not on behalf of himself, but intercession that is on behalf of someone else. Or are there those that may feel the need for this? There was, I heard of an old man in New Jersey, a man of God, and he said, in this expression, he said, there are those who confess their guilt, but the judge is not there. The congregation, the children of Israel, when they were standing at Mount Sinai, they did not just confess their guilt. Their judge was there. And because the judge was there, they felt a need for something. What was that? That was for a mediator. That was for one to intercede for them, to go between. They said to Moses, speak thou to us, but let not the Lord speak to us, else we die. And the Lord said, that is good. And Moses was appointed to be that intercessory mediator. But he was but a type of the great intercessory, the great mediator who would intercede for his church as the great high priest. Him who goes before his Father and who brings his church before his Father to pray for them. When they are not able to come directly into the presence of the Father because of their guilt, congregation, do you need a priest? What is the last thing a priest does? The last thing a priest does is he had two boys and girls. He had to bless the people. And congregation, that is now the work that the Lord Jesus Christ in his office of priesthood was appointed and ordained to do. Qualified by his own Father. To bless. What does that mean? When Isaac said to Esau concerning the blessing of Jacob, he says, I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed. Congregation, when we may receive the blessing of the Son of God, then we shall be blessed. And it can never be taken away from us. And he has one more office. But let us sing first. 243, stanzas 1 through 4. In vision to his saints, God spake from out the people, one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. Ordained, exalted, strong to save. 1 through 4 of Psalter 243.
Thank you.
Our last thought, Christ anointed to his kingly office and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. Congregation, do we need a king? By nature, we have no desire to have a king because we want to be our own king. And we don't want anyone who will tell us what we have to do because we have our own will. And we ourselves will make our own decisions what is right and what is wrong, that we may do every man that which is right in his own eyes. And now what is the instruction of God's Spirit in that new life? Then a man becomes so different. Oh, then we begin to understand that we cannot keep ourselves. Just read the Psalms. Then you can read how David is time and again going back unto the Lord. Oh, Lord, keep thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And then he goes back to the Lord and asks him to teach him what his error is and to lead him on that right pathway, to keep him on every side. Oh, then he needs guidance. He needs one to rule over him because his own spirit that is so unruly. Are there those who need a king? Are there those who need to be governed? Are there those who need to be kept? Oh, then the Lord, he has appointed this, his own son, also to be the king of his church. Not only to instruct them, and not only to be their priest, not only to reconcile them back unto the Father, but also to govern that people who cannot govern themselves because they have fallen away from that truth according to godliness. How does he rule them? He rules them by his word and by his spirit. He rules by powerfully inclining the heart of this people. Oh, do you say your heart is so dead? Do you say that your heart is so cold? Do you say that nothing can move your heart? Can you not bring forth one true tear, one true cry, one true sigh to him? Oh, then he has the power of a king. Then he is able to, then he is stronger than that prince of darkness who holds you so captive in his dominion. Yes, it is impossible from your side. But there is one in heaven who is king, one who is over everything, also over Satan himself, who holds the whole world in his power. Oh, that we may be given a place then to seek it, congregation, at his footstool. Does he have laws in his kingdom? Oh, yes. He has his law. That is the law of God. Oh, did that ever become the rule of your life? The desire, when you come under that king, to serve that king out of love and a desire to walk as one of his subjects in this world. Who needs a king? Those need a king who have enemies and who cannot protect themselves from their enemies. Do you have enemies? Is sin your enemy? Is Satan your enemy? Is the world an enemy to you? Is it a grief that your heart that goes out after the world? That it loves the world, that it loves the ways of sin? Do you have no strength in your
in your own hands, in your own feet? Do you have no strength in your own being, in your own soul, to resist the temptations of all the enemies that come against your soul? Oh, then the Father has appointed, then the Father has elected one, and He has qualified him that he may rule, that he may protect against that enemy. Sent him to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Sent him to destroy the works of the devil, to bruise the head of the devil, to take away the power of the devil, that he cannot hold any more in his dominion, and that all his temptations, they cannot bring the true people of the Lord any more into that place of eternal wretchedness. It is a warfare. Do we fight in that warfare? Then do we need that king, the power of that king, to go before us? Oh, a king. Then he is granting the gift of blessedness, the gifts of glory in his kingdom. Or are we a subject of that kingdom? Because one day he will say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit that kingdom that I have prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Congregation, we have to close again. Oh, three offices, they are of him that is anointed by the Father. And by nature now, we have no need of him. We are members of Help Yourself. And those blessed offices that God the Father has given unto his only begotten Son, they are despised by us. It is so necessary that our own ability, that our own wisdom, that our own righteousness is stripped away from us, that we may lose it, and that this Son of God, in his three blessed offices, may become for us so necessary, so precious, and so suitable. Oh, what is it going to be when you and I have to appear before our judge? Before him who has sent and anointed, appointed, and qualified his Son. Sent him into this world. And when we have to appear before him, and we say that we have no need of him whom he has chosen, then it will be for us like it was with that man who had no wedding garment. He said, "My own garment, that is better." And I don't need the wedding garment that is given by the Master. And what was said of him, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Congregation, will not the Lord be just? Will he not be just to do this unto you and to me? But great is the comfort for those who have no strength in themselves. Oh, the work of the Spirit, that is to strip a man, that is to take away everything that man is grounding his own salvation on, to make us spiritually crippled, lame, deaf, blind, dumb, ignorant, dead. Why?
for the greatest, for the most unworthy. There is one who is anointed. It is for their salvation who had no desire for a salvation from their own side. Specifically appointed that he may save the lost. Specifically qualified and given power for those who have no power in themselves. And therefore he invites such ones. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Though your sins, congregation, be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, as the chiefest of the sinners, or they shall be as wool. This is his work. That is the reason he was sent. That is the reason that he was qualified. That is why he also says, all that the Father giveth unto me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. O Lord, instruct us in the necessity of thy offices. Oh, what a wonder that thou hast sent thine only begotten Son, that thou hast appointed him, that thou hast qualified him, that he may save that which is lost. Lord, may thou also then send thy Spirit, that there may be those who might learn that they are lost, and that we may have taken away from us all our false foundations, and that that blessed Son of God may become so suitable in his precious offices of prophet, priest, and king, and that we may be given the application thereof in our own soul. Lord, forgive, forgive all that was sinful this day. Give us thy blessing, be the after speaker of thy word, and bring us safely home, and be with those thy servants that will bring thy word yet further in this evening in this area. And give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help us this week, each one in our place, or that we may have no rest for the sole of our foot until we may receive the rest that is found in thee. Be with those also that do travel. Also those that travel unto us as friends and family from the Netherlands in this week, and all those that come in dangerous circumstances in this world, each of us in our place, in our calling in this life, give us faithfulness, diligence, meditation upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 198, stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done
the meek, protected from the proud. 1, 2, 6, and 7 of Psalter 198.
Save the meek.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.